are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, March 11th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, looking back on another insane electoral week, sweet Lord, let it end. Cliff Schechter will be with us. Also on the program today, to give us he's sort of our media reporter. Andy Kindler, the great Andy Kindler, will be here with us. Andy does most of his media reporting on Twitter. And God knows what it's like to live with him.
It's an interesting media, it's like a, you're a terrible person.
Exactly.
Media critique.
Meanwhile,
at everyone on media, you're awful. Besides Sam Steeder, I love that guy.
Today, a wrap-up of last night's kinder, gentler Republican debate. Mission accomplished as the GOP slowly submits to Trump and allow him to sweep them off his feet. And guide him into the honeymoon suite, if you will.
Just go with it.
That's right.
Just go with it. Just
and
relax.
That's so disturbing. And perfectly timed, the violence at Trump rallies now finally getting some attention because a supposed reporter from Breitbart, and I say supposed because it's Breitbart, is definitely accosted by Donald Trump's campaign, one of his campaign managers. Yeah, what are you going to do? Meanwhile, high inequality makes poor kids drop out more, according to new research. The Wounded Warrior Project, the top executives have been fired because of what we've heard for quite some time now, that they spend an extraordinary amount of the money meant for wounded warriors on people who are not wounded or warriors.
The Wounded Warriors, who I love. I mean, they're just fantastic.
And a weird story of how Mario Cuomo, according to a mob hitman, was targeted for assassination in the early 90s. All that and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a casual Friday. We wrap up the week. It's been an exhausting week. And makes it very apropos that today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses. Obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. Now you can get $50 off any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/majority using the code MAJORITY. You spend about a third of your life sleeping. Again, if you're a parent, maybe, a 16th. Let's make sure you're doing it on a good mattress. Brings together two comfy technologies for better nights and brighter days. Latex foam, memory foam. It has just the right sink, but just the right bounce. They have a risk-free trial and return policy. This is the amazing thing about Casper mattresses. They deliver it straight to you. You can try it for 100 days. That's right, 100 days, not 100 minutes, not 100 seconds like you get in a mattress store, 100 days. If you're not happy, they pick it up. It's $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king-size mattress. Those are incredibly competitive prices. Never mind, you don't pay for delivery. So you get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/majority using code MAJORITY. Terms and conditions apply. Now, before we get to Cliff, I want to just read this email that we got. Uh-oh, what? This is awkward. Oh, no, that's not that awkward. Following the debate last night, apparently Marco Rubio's communications director says that Rubio supporters in Ohio should vote for John Kasich. So that's just Rubio acknowledging what everybody already knows, not just that he's going to lose. It is that the only hope for the Republicans is to create some doubt with a competitive convention. They're calling, not calling it brokered, even though, of course, they're going to have to change the rules.
Competition, which, of course, man.
Competition at the convention. This is going to be fantastic. I'm loving it. It's wonderful. It's great.
I mean, look, frankly, they're doing a fantastic job of being a mess.
Ben Carson came out and endorsed Donald Trump today. We will talk with Cliff about the incredible implications of that.
I mean, so as I go, so as really the nation.
I really actually think that is the biggest of the implications, just that it gives Michael one more day to do Ben Carson.
Thank you.
And he could also end up being the Secretary of Education, according to Donald Trump today, because this guy...
I actually did a voodoo ceremony in Flatbush in Brooklyn for that scenario to happen. I'm really committed to that.
Now, let me read this email. Ladies and gentlemen, we get... I can't even tell you how many emails we get a day. And that's just, you know, in terms of hearing from audience members. I mean, literally, I don't know, 100 plus a day. And some of them are what I think a lot of people would find really offensive. For me, I don't want to reveal too much of myself psychologically, but those are the ones I probably enjoy the most.
Frankly, Sam enjoys getting schlocked.
Well, you know, the ones where it's like, you disgusting piece of garbage and you left-wing. You're so left-wing, it's so obvious. Why don't you admit it? You know, stuff like that. I really enjoy those. But every now and then we get an email that just sort of hits the sweet spot of my weak underbelly. And this is one. I often listen to your podcast. I'm also a paid subscriber to other similar services. I generally appreciate your podcast and the subject matter, but I am not a paid subscriber. And the last episode is a great case study of why. This is yesterday's show. Do you realize that it wasn't until 20 minutes into the episode that you actually started talking about the issues? That's one third of the entire episode you spent talking mostly about advertising as well as neck braces and other non-relevant chit-chat. I understand the need to advertise, but wasting one third of the episode on it, especially when you're asking for paid subscriptions, does not a great podcast make. Honestly, even 5 minutes would be way too much if I was paying for the episodes. Let me just correct some of the lies in this email. First off, I went back and I checked. It was at 13 minutes and 54 seconds that we started talking about, specifically about the debate. The neck brace was talking about some of the coverage of the debate that I had been involved with the night before. But I started off the episode saying I was sick and I was sorry that we had bumped the guest because I was sick. Then I will also tell you that one of the benefits of being a member, sir, or lady, I don't know. I'm not going to, sir.
It's very sirish.
It's sirish.
It's very sirish.
Sir, is that our members don't get advertisements. And when you actually get to the issues, I really appreciate your coverage. I wish it was more of the content. I may yet become a paid subscriber in the future, but I only pay for truly great content. And to get there, your podcast needs to be more concise and less time given to talking up advertisers and non-pertinent conversations. Well, sir, I am sorry to inform you of this. You are not allowed to become a member. I have just fired you from the show. Don't appreciate your attitude. I don't appreciate your hyperbole and your lack of accurate information. So, sir, I have your name and I have your email address. You're not allowed to become a member. In fact, I'm banning you. I am banning you from listening to the free episode. So this should be the last thing you hear of this show. Go to the other shows that you can get 5 days a week that interview the guests that we interview and that do the depth of coverage that we do, and you will enjoy them much more now, and you'll appreciate them. And I'm sure they'll appreciate you more since you're now spending more time on those great podcasts. Good day, sir. And for the rest of you, we'll take a quick break and go to Cliff Schechter.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know if you read this, but the Kasich spokesperson responded to the Rubio news. We're going to win Ohio without his help, just as he's going to lose Florida without ours.
Bum, bum, bum. Well, they should have talked that stuff last night. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is non-pertinent to some of you, but to the rest of us, this theme song is incredibly pertinent.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services? You know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, it's Cliff Schechter. That means it must be Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Cliff. How are you?
I am doing swell. How are you, Sammy?
Are you gearing up for the big primary in Ohio? I mean, this is actually...
I couldn't be more excited.
This is...
No, it's a big deal, actually. I
was going to say, is this Tuesday? I mean, we hear about Super Tuesday, right? And it's big because that's that's the first big multi-state day. But in terms of this race, it feels like this Tuesday is the pivot for really, in many respects, both races.
I agree on both sides, because with the surprise Bernie win in Michigan, it puts him back into a place of contention where people thought he'd kind of fallen out. So what happens in obviously Ohio, Illinois, Florida, I think Missouri too, if I'm correct, and I feel like I'm missing one.
North Carolina.
Thank you. Another big one. Yeah. All pretty important states. So, I mean, that's a big deal on the Democratic side. And of course, there's all sorts of, it's like National League baseball on the Republican side. You know, when you remove a pitcher, you do like a double switch and all that stuff.
Right.
You have people attacking each other, but then supporting other people. You got people that want the home state guys, Rubio and Kasich, to win to stop Trump, or one guy to win, but not the other. I just heard, I don't know if you have heard this, apparently some folks in the media tweeted it out, so whether it's true or not, who knows, that apparently right now Rubio is telling his people in Ohio, which amount to about 14 people, if I'm correct,
right,
to vote for Kasich.
Yes, and actually we just heard that Kasich's people, communications director, shot back on Twitter saying...
Yeah.
Well, I'll read it. I got it right here. It is... Kathleen Ronien said, reports that Kasich spocks Rob Nichols on Rubio News. Quote, we're going to win in Ohio without his help, just as he's going to lose in Florida without ours.
Yeah. This should let everybody know what I've been trying to tell people, all of us who live in this state, is just what an absolute dick John Kasich is. Like, there's just no other way to put it. He is as big of a dick as Chris Christie on a bad day when he hasn't eaten lunch and encounters a school teacher, okay?
Wow.
He just is. I mean, his first campaign, he fought with his own party's campaign chairman and pushed him out. Many people in his own party here can't stand him. It's kind of in the way a lot of people in the sort of Republican establishment here in Ohio feel about him, the way the establishment feels about Cruz in D.C., and not because they're standing up for good policies, just because they're complete jackasses. You know, he quoted himself once in a big speech about how he called a cop, an idiot for pulling him over. Just because he pulled him over, and God forbid you pull over John Kasich, he's got this entitlement thing, which shouldn't be shocking as a white Republican, where, you know, he's holier than thou. And he's hit it really well, because I think they made a strategic look at that and said, well, these guys are all flinging poo at each other, so let's look like the adult in the room. And I think it worked. I don't think it's really done anything for him, considering he's gotten second place in a few states like Vermont and Maine, and
right,
third place in Massachusetts. But, you know, if he wins Ohio, then it has done something for him. But, I mean, this guy, Rob Nichols, and that guy, or whatever his name is, Rob Nichols, Mike mm-hmm. Nichols. Mike Nichols is a movie guy, isn't he?
Yes, he's passed away, but he was a very talented man.
See, there I go, screwing up. But, no, Rob, I mean, this is the guy that's been with Kasich forever, and he very, very well shows Kasich's personality. This is kind of what he's done throughout his years here, which is just invite people into a room with him purposely with a camera, lobbyists, and then say, I'm going to run you over. I'm not having any days crying for lobbyists. It's just the pageantry of that Kasich purposely did this in front of cameras to humiliate people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to speak to our crowd better? The other day, apparently it was reported, I'm trying to remember where it was. Was it New Hampshire? So maybe not the other day, that when he talked about cutting Social Security, and somebody in the crowd said, well, I won't be able to afford this, that, and the other thing if you do that. And Kasich's response was, get over it. That's the John Kasich we know.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I can't see how he's going to be the nominee. I mean, I guess conceivably, right, he could be a guy who might be a VP pick. The idea that this guy, I don't know, every time I see him shake Donald Trump's hands, I just think that, like, wow, man, your PAC put out an ad saying he was Hitler. And are you really just like, is that all it takes? It's like 3-4 months and it's like your Hitler washes off of you or what? And this is before,
like, wash Hitler.
And this is before,
put it on, you put it on to clean your skin, it's gone.
And how about all of those? Since that time, we've had like multiple examples of Trump followers literally physically accosting black people at their rallies. We have now... Yeah.
That's going to be a popular visual in the general election.
We have Trump personnel...
Donald Trump is going to win a large African-American percent.
Trump personnel, you know, throwing reporters around. I mean, this is pretty... this is pretty pretty crazy stuff. And
well,
I don't
know. I saw he may not, that may be not one of the most popular people here, a very establishment Dem, who now works for Bloomberg, which is Howard Wolfson, who was talking. But I respect Wolfson and I think he's done some, I think he's a smart guy politically. And I saw him on, I think it was Yahoo News with Katie Couric, and he was talking about, you know, why Bloomberg decided to run or not to run. And I think he actually handled those questions really well, which was to say that the Trump thing, you know, there's normal Republican stuff, and then the Trump thing is something different, and we've talked about this, all right? It's crossing the line in those various areas where it comes to beating up and threatening protesters and people who disagree with you with violence, which he's threatened the media. He's threatened people who've shown up at his places. He's talked about committing violent acts, even if he thinks he's joking, against Paul Ryan and others who are in his own party who don't agree with him. It's the blatant misogyny in the way that he treats and talks about women, the racism, the exclusionary and eliminationist rhetoric when it comes to Muslims and it comes to Hispanics. I mean, this isn't run-of-the-mill conservatism. You've crossed the line into fascism at that point. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And, you know, I think we're hearing at least some Republicans are saying this. Some people seem to understand this. I worry that most of the Republicans who are saying this are more worried because, you know, we don't want Trump because they don't want their party to lose, as opposed to what it does to this country when you mainstream this kind of stuff. You know, we're not just it's like what's happened with Planned Parenthood. They mainstream that kind of talk, and then there's a guy shooting up a Planned Parenthood and killing people in Colorado Springs. In Columbus the other day, the people arrived at a Planned Parenthood to find a note on the door calling them all murderers and saying they had blood on their hands. These are the kinds of things that these guys mainstreaming this kind of language is doing. So I just think it's on all of us to be vigilant about this stuff. I think that Godwin's Law exists for a good reason. Too many people have been too apt for, in many cases, to throw Nazism around and Hitler around and all this stuff. And I don't even think you necessarily need to throw that around. But think of whatever it is you want your person to be, if you know what you want your image to be in your mind of, whether it's Hitler, whether it's Mussolini, whether it's Idi Amin, whether it's Vladimir Putin. This guy is a strong man and a guy, obviously, who clearly lacks a conscience. In that variety, we have certain institutions that can help block what he would do, but there are others that can't, quite frankly. And democracies are fragile things. So I think, you know, what's going on at his rallies, this is the kind of stuff that needs to be, we need to make sure we're all out there constantly talking about. And, you know,
well,
whether it's...
You know, the thing that I think is really going to... We actually have a clip of that. Let me first get to this clip of Donald Trump basically telling the Republican Party to lay back and enjoy it. I mean, that's basically what this comes down to. It's sort of creepy when you think about it, but
very creepy when you think about it. Yeah.
Here's clip number one.
Mr. Trump, one of the biggest political events anywhere in the world is happening right now with the Republican Party. Millions and millions of people are going out to the polls and they're voting. They're voting out of enthusiasm. They're voting out of love. Some of these people, frankly, have never voted before. 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, never voted before. We're taking people from the Democrat Party. We're taking people as independents, and they're all coming out, and the whole world is talking about it. It's very exciting. I think, frankly, the Republican establishment, or whatever you want to call it, should embrace what's happening. We're having millions of extra people join. We are going to beat the Democrats. We are going to beat Hillary or whoever it may be, and we're going to beat them soundly.
And so there it is. I mean, it's and go ahead.
There's always the term, obviously, we're going to beat them. Is very easily used in the sense of we're going to get more votes than them. But with Trump, it's always more menacing. And it's the body language, it's the way he says things, and it's the other things he says around that. I mean, and the times where he actually encourages people to commit acts of violence. And I think it's important. So I want to also, you know, as we are a live show, there's a guy who tweeted something at me, Little Marco, if you're listening, who basically said, you know, that he disagreed with me slightly because that Trump's not different. This is what the rest of them are thinking. And my response to that would be, you know, Sam and I, you and I have had this conversation about the guys with better media training versus the ones without. But that is the danger here, is that actually there are people maybe on the far right who have thought these things. There are some on the far right on that stage who probably do. I think others fake being more conservative than they are because they know that's where the votes are. But the getting all of the media that Donald Trump gets and being a celebrity and saying that stuff leads to things like what happened to the Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs.
Well, look,
it leads
yes,
to things like
it gives people's
attacked.
License. It gives people's
normalized
stuff.
Carly Fiorina said that stuff about a baby's brain being harvested in Ted Cruz. It's why I always talked about those three by far as the worst, because they say things that lead to terrorist acts. So I'm not saying Cruz, you know, I'm not saying Trump is the only one who thinks any of this stuff. I think Cruz is pretty much the same as Trump, all right? But and if he were here, I might be saying the same thing about him. But this is where the Republican Party has now gotten. And it is important to note the distinction between people. I don't know what they're thinking. I'm sure some of them are thinking some pretty sick crap that I wouldn't want to know. But saying it makes an enormous amount of difference. It gives license to people to do things.
Right.
As we've seen at these rallies.
And we should say, let's play this clip. This is, you know, and I think this is, I mean, I've mentioned this on the program, and I imagine this is going on across the country. My only sort of, you know, even remotely personal experience of it is that, you know, my daughter has a friend at school who is Muslim. The family wears a traditional Muslim garb, and the kid's talking to my daughter, they're 10, talking about how her parents are nervous, and it makes perfect sense when you have a guy who now appears to be the presumptive nominee of one of the two and really only major political parties in the country. He is, in a generic sense, a 50-50 chance to be president, is singling out you as a Muslim. In this instance, it's as a Muslim, but in other times it's been as a Jew or as a Catholic or as a black person or as an Asian or a Latino, which is not to say that he's not covered.
Which is not covered. I mean, they asked him very specific questions.
Yeah, here is that exchange. This is Donald Trump talking about how Islam hates us. Now, here's the point, folks, okay? You have to, this is an equation. You have to see this as an equation. If Islam hates us, then what? Right?
I mean, what do you do to people?
Exactly.
That hate you?
Exactly. It's number three.
Trump, let me start with you. Last night you told CNN, quote, "Islam hates us." Did you mean all 1.6 billion Muslims?
I mean a lot of them. I mean a lot of them.
Do you want to clarify the comment at all?
Well, you know, I've been watching the debate today, and they're talking about radical Islamic terrorism or radical Islam. But I will tell you, there's something going on that maybe you don't know about and maybe a lot of other people don't know about. But there's tremendous hatred, and I will stick with exactly what I said to Anderson Cooper.
Senator Rubio, you're... And Republican Senator Jeff Sessions said in response to Mr. Trump's comment last night...
Pause it for 1 second. I mean, you heard... all that applause. And I'm sorry, you know, when you say a lot of them from 1.6 billion, I mean, what is a lot of 1.6 billion?
Right, and it doesn't really matter because if you're these people who are off the rocker and they're heavily armed in this country and you're hearing a lot of them, then that is license to you if you see one of them doing something that anything, really, that you know, it's kind of the way in some people frankly have acted towards African Americans after all the rhetoric that's been spewed by the Republican Party over the years.
But we don't even
have... They must be criminals. They must be so even police sometimes react that way. Well, a Muslim is doing something, that Muslim must be doing something suspicious. And if they are doing something that you can find remotely suspicious, you should attack them. That's what you should do as an American, because a lot of them hate us, and a lot of them want to kill. I mean, I can't.
But
imagine,
we don't even have to go that far with it. I mean, we don't even have to go that far with it. Look, when he says that, and he says that as the front runner in a nationally televised debate or interview, and he says Islam hates us. And they say, what do you mean Islam hates us? Well, a whole lot of the 1.6 billion, okay? So let's just be generous here and say he's only talking about 300 million. Let's say the population in the United States, obviously we don't have 300 million Muslims here. But if you're a Muslim American and you hear that, I mean, this is the stuff. And Cliff, right. You know, you also, and I know this. Like, we were taught this when we were kids, that the Jews in Germany, when they heard this shit, they didn't take it seriously. And so
that's right.
That's
what I was going to get to next, which is, you know, you should read this stuff. People have been tweeting it around from the New York Times in 1922, 23, as Hitler was coming up. And all these political analysts in Weimar Germany, then a democracy, however well-functioning a democracy you want to consider it, I mean, we're not a very well-functioning democracy either. And you had people, the New York Times and publications like that, saying, oh, well, Hitler is craftily, I think they use the word, using anti-Semitism to rise up, but he'll probably broaden his electorate eventually.
Right.
He doesn't mean to continue it.
Right.
This is the stuff you hear, the same thing, you know, you hear the Hutus saying things about Tutsis, you know, in Rwanda. I mean, let's take it beyond Germany, because I think then, you know, people
well,
would
but,
say, oh,
but,
well, it's just,
no,
you're
no,
just
but,
not
but here's the thing.
This
I'm
stuff
not
has
suggesting
across the world.
Right.
You know?
But I'm not suggesting that this necessarily means that it's going to lead there. But I am suggesting
that it would be.
But
if you're a Muslim
but,
and you're walking around
right,
here
but
in
I,
our society,
I'm saying
how
it
can
would
you
be,
not be affected by
exactly.
that?
Exactly. It would be irrational for you. If that guy is saying that kind of stuff, it would be irrational based upon the history of the world for you to be sitting there and not be worried. It would
be
irrational for this not to keep you up at night, worry about your kids. I mean, just what he's saying in and of itself, if nobody reacts to it, is beyond the pale of what it does for America. I mean, can you imagine? Just like the idea of saying I don't know. I mean, it's just it, to me, it seems beyond
no,
the pale.
I mean, and this is proof. Look, this is not even in the sort of conceptual maybe stage when it comes to beyond just the way it makes people feel, whether or not this leads to terrorist acts. Statistically, it does. I mean, it is a proven and studied concept. I know there are people on the right that don't believe in science, but it's called stochastic terrorism. It's real. Right, statistically, when people who have that kind of access to the media say certain things, you can predict. You can't predict where necessarily or who, but you can predict statistically it is going to lead to an increase of acts of violence against the people they're talking about. I mean, and so to have him do this, I mean, can you imagine? I think about it because, you know, I'm not someone who's very I'm not religious in the slightest. I mean, I'm non-religious. And culturally, even, I wasn't brought up with a strong Jewish identity. But as you said, you learn all these things. I do know where I come from. It's important to me, knowing my family's history. And, yeah, I had family members who died in the Holocaust. I had people that had to sneak out of the damn country. I also had family members, my grandfather, who'd sneak on a ship with his dad when, he didn't do it himself. His dad did. He was 6 months old in 1906 because in the Ukraine they were busting in Jewish windows. Like, this isn't the stuff of theory. This is what happens. And, so to sit here and have been, you know, and know that history, and, I mean, all I can do, because I've got plenty of friends who are Muslim or let's put it this way, to these idiots who we're talking about here look Muslim, which really means non-white. We're talking about imbeciles and what they might do here. I remember after 9/11 how many Sikhs were attacked because these morons thought they were Muslim. So if you're any of these kinds of groups, and now you have this extra fear, and it's because this jackass won't shut up about it. It's disheartening.
What's amazing is that the guy says that, right? He basically singles out a religious minority in this country, and again, folks, this is a if then what is what this is. I mean, this is a predicate, right? I mean, this is why when we get on all of the Islamophobia, why we get on it so tough, because this is a predicate. You cannot stop the sentence. Or in other words, if you stop the sentence with Islam hates us, and you are a politician talking about who says that, you know, we need to protect this country, the sentence continues on. It may not be, and the paragraph continues on. The thought continues on. It may not be articulated out loud, but it continues on. You're setting right. a predicate, and people are filling in the blanks there. And there's only one way to fill that in. It's the same thing with, like, we're in a clash of civilizations, as Marco Rubio said. Even though he goes on, and I'll just to give him credit, following that exchange, Marco Rubio goes on to say that's inappropriate. But of course, you know, that's just because he's decided I'm going to change.
The mosques potentially being shut
exactly.
down. Exactly. Great to see exactly. he's acting responsible.
Right.
And again, this is what this gentleman tweeted at me, and he's right, which is it's not to say that all these other guys don't think this stuff or even say this stuff. It's really just that Trump is now taking this to another level.
Or just Marco. Rubio has just made a strategic decision, a tactical decision that, like,
right.
this is the way that I create some sun, some daylight here, and that might help me in Florida. And of course, his whole explanation of why this is bad is because it's actually endangering Christian missionaries. Who are trying
right, well,
to convert?
I mean, that's the other thing, yeah. right? Is that what these guys? You know, this has an effect all over the place. This has an effect, obviously, because you're making people that should be able to walk around freely and safely in their own country feel like they're outsiders and feel scared for their kids. Right? It has that. You're also encouraging the kinds of people that sadly we've allowed in this country to build stockpiles of weapons to think that anybody that looks or acts different than them is somebody more suspicious and really shouldn't be given the benefit of the doubt. We're talking about people that don't think very clearly or smartly. But on top of that, it's what it does abroad. You're endangering Christian missionaries. You're maybe leading to certain Muslim nations that might think about working with us, which is one of the few smart things that Marco Rubio, I think, said last night to maybe consider whether they'd be willing to work with a President Trump when it comes to this kind of stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of far-reaching implications when you have this kind of media attention. You know, the largest media complex we've known in the history of the world, where people can get their information in a million different ways, but you're on TV and you're on the internet and you're on radio and you're everywhere and you're saying these things is incredibly dangerous. And it's why responsible Republicans in the past kept this stuff on the fringes. There were certain members of backbenchers in Congress, your Bob Dornans, right?
Right.
Who would say this kind of crap, and everybody else were just, you know, I remember the 92 convention, and everybody else just kind of laugh when you'd be talking about Bill Clinton, who was really a communist and got together with communists when he traveled from Oxford, and, you know, and most of the Republicans would just ignore it and sort of be like, this is nuts. Now we're talking about the top mainstream people are saying it, and they're echoing what's being said on talk radio, and they're echoing what's being said on Fox News and at the Drudge Report, and this is on and on. So people are getting this message, and it's incredibly dangerous. Again, we know what the results of it are. You don't have to guess. It is predictable statistically. So, I mean, that's where we are right now. I mean, and I'm not saying that it's going to end up as it did for Jews in Germany or as it did for Tutsis in Rwanda or anything else. I'm saying it could if we're not vigilant and we don't fight back against this in every way possible. But in the meantime, it really is affecting people's lives
of
in
course,
a negative
exactly.
way. And it will lead to people getting hurt in this country.
Exactly.
And abroad.
And so let's also talk, and what's amazing to me, because people woke up to the headlines today, like a more adult Republican primary. And we had a thoughtful talk. Meanwhile, this guy is threatening a huge portion of our population in this country. And that's just, you know, that's par for the course. I mean,
well,
some of this
nice
stuff
voice,
has been normalized.
Sam.
Exactly.
It's not as threatening when he doesn't yell it.
Now,
he
says
in a very nice voice, I think Muslims are all want to kill us. That's, you know, that's, it's nicer.
Just circling back to this theme that the Republican Party is basically at peace with itself, at least in terms of the idea that this is going to go to the convention. Best case scenario for them is that Kasich or Rubio wins some delegates and deprives Trump of some big delegate prizes, and maybe he doesn't reach whatever it is, 1273, at the convention. Listen to Reince Priebus on CNN before the debate talking.
Can I ask you quickly?
Yeah.
Just before you get to that, do you really think that's a real name, or you just make that crap up?
I have no idea. I have no
okay.
idea.
I don't believe that's a real name.
I have no idea what that is. I really don't.
He's in the CIA or something. That can't be a real name. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Here he is. I'll be talking, saying he's hoping for a PG or G rated debate. And it occurred to me, I mean, this was really sold by CNN, by everybody, as this was going to be a calmer debate. which leads me to believe that there was a meeting. And basically...
Oh, there totally was.
And all right, well, listen to this.
Obama, she was favored to win, and she got schlonged. She lost.
I don't really have any views on the size of any parts of Donald Trump's anatomy, and I'm not interested in talking about that.
You cringe, you laugh. It's mortifying in many ways. I know you've talked to most of the candidates specifically about their tone. Were they receptive? Are they going to change?
Well, no, I think I think if you look at what the campaigns are saying, they all agree that the last debate probably was not the best picture, I think, for our debates. And as I've said over the weekend and this week, you know, I want to get a PG or a G rating here tonight. I prefer a G rating, but, you know, at this point I'll settle for a PG. I think you're going to see that, though. I actually think, and I'm on CNN, and I'm not just saying it, but I think CNN is also doing a great job at making sure that some steps are also taken to kind of cool the temperature on the debate stage, which is really important.
Now, I said this last night. I had not heard this clip, but it was quite clear that they had cut off the TV mics of candidates who were not on camera. They kept the mics on in the hall, but when Trump interrupted one time, his mic was not on. We heard him through the hall mic. I mean, so there was a real attempt to manufacture something following the last debate. But the idea that the bar for adulthood now is to not actively claim that you have a large penis during a political debate is just pathetic.
That was not our best look for our debate. You know that whole time when everybody was comparing their dicks? That wasn't our best look. You know, that kind of says it all. It's clear he had a talk with them. It's clear, I don't know that he threatened them because I'm not sure if he can, but I think he kind of, maybe he brought polling numbers and did what was necessary to let them know that their negatives went up and they're going to lose if they act that way. And so maybe they all pulled it together. But in the end, the irony of the whole thing is that these guys can't seem to find that safe ground where you can be incredibly critical of Donald Trump for all the terrible things he's done, for his crappy steaks and his rip-off university and his mortgage company that crashed and his bankruptcy, you know, one bankruptcy after another, and inheriting daddy's money and all, you know, and saying you're a self-made man, all the other stuff. They can't seem to find that ground, so they do that without getting into your spray tan's terrible and you've got a small dick. You know,
well, they're terrified.
So they did nothing.
They're terrified
last night, which left it at status quo, which means Trump will probably win.
Yeah, they're terrified right? of him. They are terrified of him. Yeah. And when they're terrified of him, what they're really saying is we're terrified of our own base. And, you know, that's been something that we've said for a long time. It's a fairly glib thing to say at this point. The Republicans fear their base and the Democrats hate theirs. And that is the reality. That is the reality, and we're seeing it playing out here, and it's giving people an insight into who is the base of the Republican Party. So in many respects, it doesn't matter who gets elected from that party because they are all beholden, and each one of these candidates are showing this right now. They are beholden to the worst elements of their party, which is the most powerful elements of their party.
That is correct. Entirely correct. So, I mean, none of this really, this is all theater anyhow at this point. You know, I mean, it seems they want Kasich to get out, but now they're thinking, now the thinking has switched, it seems, in certain places where they're thinking, well, Kasich maybe can win Ohio. Rubio clearly is way behind in Florida and isn't going to win. And now they're sort of, it's almost like they're combining forces to do what they can to deny it from this guy. But really, again, not because he's a fascist, because that's okay.
Right.
It's only because he says things that may get them in trouble and they might actually lose the election more. Or they're more likely to lose the election if it's him. And that's what they're afraid of.
I think they're afraid that he's going to win.
Not what's best for the country.
I think they're afraid that he's going to win the election, to be honest with you, because
only in that if he wins, then they won't control him.
Exactly.
He may destroy their congressional wing of the party and their state legislature
in
the ticket. But again, that's still their selfish interest.
Of
what
course.
I'm saying is they're not scared because they're not sitting there like certain people have done in elections past where they've switched over and endorsed the other party or the other candidate and said, I'm doing this. And you know that you can tell they genuinely are because they have nothing to gain, right? Where someone's saying, this is what's best for the country.
Yeah, of course.
All right. And we need to do what's best for the country. There's none of that. There's not even a pretend. you know, amount of that. There's a few maybe Republicans who I could believe and I could see, you know, and they're really sort of C-listers at this point, right? It's like Christy Todd Whitman and others who've said that they will vote for Hillary over Trump, and I believe they will. Probably,
yeah.
But they're not the people that are getting huge amounts of attention that are going to make a difference. And I'd be shocked.
Even the great brave statesman Mitt Romney, what did he risk? What did he do?
He risked nothing, and he still won't say that he won't vote for Trump.
Oh no, he said, yeah. First of all, he's going to come around, and at the very least, he'll be quiet after Trump's the nominee. Mitt Romney will hide in one of his houses. And he'll just be sitting there playing with his car elevator or whatever it is, and he won't come out.
Yep.
They're just cowards. But Cliffy,
they are.
We got to go. I appreciate it.
All right.
Always fun.
My pleasure as always.
I mean,
Thank you. Disturbing.
We'll talk again next week.
Sorry, folks. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, enjoy yourselves while you still can. Cliff Schechter.
While you still have freedom. Go out and enjoy it. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care, man.
Talk to you soon. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll head into Andy Kinlow. Do we have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song?
It's on your list. Second page.
What is the title of the Jimmy Reefer Cake song?
Penises are important.
Well, okay, so we didn't...
That's a fantastic point.
This is, I assume, an ode to the Republican debate. All right, let's hear it. And in the meantime, I will call Andy Kinlow.
Comparing penis sizes like we did back in school, like a bunch of teenage boys just acting like a fool. Why even have elections? Why even have debates? Have the dude with the biggest schlong be the candidate? Yeah, Republicans, when you cast your vote of length and girth, you better take note. When you choose a candidate who represents you, remember to consider the volume of their spew, because penises are important, so important today. Penises. This sense of impending doom is killing me. As the Democrats rig this thing for Hillary, secret emails, the TPP, she's so full of holes. Trump will schlong her big time, at least that's what I'm told. Yeah, Republicans, when you cast your vote of the length and girth, you better take note. That's right. When you choose the candidate who represents you, remember to consider the volume of their spew, because penises are important today.
We're back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, where do you get a load of this next hit?
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot, Andy believes Obama can never be wrong. Yeah, Andy Kindler. .com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write you your own theme song, Andy Kindler.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Reefer Cake with the Andy Kindler song, following up from his song about penises that were taking place during the Republican debate. Hello, Andy.
I'll tell you, this is a more than the Nazi takeover. This going blue bothers me more than anything else.
Going blue? What does that mean?
Do we have to go blue?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Let's not go blue. Don't go blue.
Well,
hello?
Hello?
I'm already bombing.
It was dictated by the Republicans. First of all, Andy.
Dictated. Get it?
This is the kind of thing. People think it's hard. Hard! Get it? To come up with penis material. Get it is my new catchphrase, by the way.
Get it? Get it? Well, now, Andy, let me ask you a question. Where the heck are you? I just called, and supposedly it's a modern hotel, and nobody answered the phone. Nobody answered the phone.
Oh, I know. I know. I was worried about that. I called down early because you know me. If I have a gig, like a phone interview, everything is everything. It's you know, this is a big thing for me today. This is the only thing I got going on before my show. So I called back down to the front desk, and they were very blasé about it. I said, "Is this the number? The reservation number?" And they said, "Yeah, yeah. Just call the number. Call the number." That's my impression of the person on the front desk.
I was gonna say, where are you staying? At a, like some type of geriatric inn or something? What is?
No, I shouldn't say because I don't want the paparazzi. You know what I do, Sam, to avoid the paparazzi? I check into a hotel under my own name, ladies and gentlemen. Under my own name.
You travel on the geriatric hostel circuit, right?
Yeah, I'm staying in the assisted living hotel.
And you're in Idaho. Idaho, aren't you?
Boise. Boise, which is in this town, is crazy. Talk about liberal.
Now, well, I was going to ask you, like, what, like, do you perform there, or do they just like throw you in some type of ring and they just see?
Sam, I'm a stand-up comedian. I mean, didn't you get the memo?
Well, do you have a strong fan base there?
You used to do stand-up years ago. Now you look like you sound like a scientist trying to find out about a field you've never heard about.
Well, I got to say, if I went from Catch a Rising Star in Cambridge to that Chinese restaurant on Route 1, the difference would be rather dramatic. You know, in Route 1 in Quincy, I'm literally hearing as I'm delivering my material, "Told you he was a fag." I mean, so, you know, when Andy Kindler goes to Idaho, I start to wonder what's going on.
Well, you know, my big dig material is not going over here.
that's about as Boston-centric as you could get.
More like an endless dig.
Right. Yeah, big dig. Big disaster. Oh God!
Yeah, no, I'm playing in a club called Liquid Boise. Liquid Boise. So everybody, come on down. If you're in Boise and you have a radio, I don't know. People don't listen to you on the radio, and you're listening to me. Oh God, I hate to promote myself, but you know what's real? You know what's
Just think about it as if you're talking to one or two friends, because in terms of our audience in Boise, I would say that's probably it. But I know we do have listeners in Boise. I know that we have listeners in Boise.
So I hope they come down tonight. But you want to know what's sticking in my craw more than all of the Nazi takeovers? And
that's why I have you on.
Now, I think you know that I have cornered the market on comparing everyone to Hitler. I've compared my mother to Hitler. If I go to the airport and they tell me the plane is late, I say, thank you, Hitler. What is this, a Holocaust? Sir, we have to change your seat. Oh, thank you, Mengele.
Right.
So now, all of a sudden, I thought Lawrence O'Donnell was going to faint the other night from just saying how many times Louis C.K. was a genius. He's a genius. And the reason why he's a genius is because he emailed the people subscribing to Horace and Pete and told them not to vote for Trump. You know how many people who subscribe to Horace and Pete... we're going to vote for Trump.
You know what? I'll tell you something. I was bothered by this, too. But not just that part of it. But go ahead. Continue.
All right. So the thing is, all I'm saying is, I mean, talk about, I mean, I like to preach to the converted as well because I kill. But that's from my act. It's so bad. The thing is, it's that who's he writing to? What does he write? What is the...
What the heck happened?
Everybody now is like, oh, well, now they're bitter. Not completely bitter. Kind person. But,
What? Andy,
what
you
is
there?
This is the now, oh, Louis C.K. Yeah.
I'm sorry. We were losing you. It's almost as if, are you getting another call on the other line?
Oh.
Andy?
There's a stormtrooper at my door. I don't know. How did I lose you?
I don't know. As you were talking. Well, all right. No, so you're talking about. So we should wait. We should just back up.
You want to call me back on my.
No, no. Louis C.K. sent out an email blast and said you shouldn't vote for Trump. But then he went on to say you voted for Kasich. We lost Andy. What the frick? Oh,
unfortunately, I couldn't bring myself to read the email.
Hold on, Andy.
He's voting for
Andy.
Kasich?
Andy, I'm gonna call you back on your cell because we're having problems with your phone. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, great.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, sorry about this, folks. That was weird. Yeah, we'll just do... Andy, you there?
Is that song on purpose?
Was that song? Yeah, that's our technical difficulty song.
I thought I was on NPR for a second.
What are you now? Are you standing like 5 feet away from your phone, or what's going on?
Yeah, I still don't get the idea of technology, so I'm still standing near the hotel phone.
You're still talking.
In fact, I'm looking for a USB in the hotel phone.
It does sound like you're not actually talking into the phone.
Oh, how about now? Is it
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, no, you got to bring you're going to bring your face to the phone.
No, I'm using a headset because the iPhones, they are terrible phones. So anyway, let's not get into that because we'll be on for another hour with my iPhone chunk.
Nobody's got an iPhone chunk like you have an iPhone chunk. I think everybody
iPhone knows. More like a me don't like it. Phone.
Or how about just like a I don't like it phone?
Yeah, that's better. That's funnier. So that's not the route I would go. I don't like it phone.
All right.
Are you still losing me?
No, we're getting
usual.
You. I'm just trying
it's
to.
The usual
I'm
now.
We are losing you a little bit there.
All right, no. So Andy, Louis C.K. writes this thing. You didn't read the whole email, but I mean, yes,
no.
He got a tremendous amount of I guess. I don't know, praise for taking the bold step of alienating none of his audience by saying Trump's a buffoon.
You know, yeah, that's right. You talk about taking a risk because, you know, the Horace and Pete people, anybody who would download a show called Horace and Pete is already wearing an ascot and has a goatee, all right?
I don't know where you're hanging out. I don't necessarily see the... ascot goatee look too much anymore.
You're supposed to go with me, Seth. A good host goes with any premise.
Right. No, of course. Yeah. No, I'm it's God. Shave that damn thing and get rid of that ascot, everybody.
Well, you know what, though, Sam? I am obsessed with Louis C.K., as you know.
Yes.
And not in a good way. But I remember hearing him on a talk show a couple of years ago, and I swear I'm not lying. I know that someone could find the footage. And he said something along the lines of, yeah, you know, I never liked George W. Bush, but I don't even know why I didn't like him. It was like, oh, he made a lot of money from oil.
Right.
So when I heard him say that, and this was way after George W. Bush invaded the country on false pretenses, I was like, this guy knows nothing about politics, Louis. Zero. He's apolitical.
Yep.
So, you know, why is he weighing in?
I have no problem with, obviously, with comedians or actors or anybody weighing in politics. But they, you know, or brain surgeons for that matter, frankly. But it is important to have a slight bit, I mean, to spend a little bit of time, you know, because you have to be conscious. You know, I could send out an email blast. It's nobody's going to report on it. You could send out an email blast. It's going to get a lot of attention. But,
but you mean like Gmail will shut down my account or something?
Well, but my point is, I think Louis's got to be conscious of the fact that he is. I mean, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he just did it earnestly. But I think you do have a responsibility. You got to be aware of your level of celebrity and fame, and that stuff is going to get reported. He surely must be aware of that. And I think you have a responsibility to do a little bit of homework. I mean, to say, like, you know, we should have some balance. We had a liberal president in the office for 8 years, so now we should have John Kasich, I think shows a fundamental. And you know what? I also think that if you dug into it literally for 5 minutes, he has two kids, two daughters. He doesn't want them to grow up in a world where they don't have the right to sovereignty over their own body. I'm quite convinced of that, and I think that if he did a little bit of work, he'd know a little more about it.
Well, that's absolutely true. But the thing is, Lawrence O'Donnell, every once in a while, I say, I can't even believe it. Like, did you know about, like, 6 months ago, he makes his two big announcements, and I don't want to mess any relationships up with MSNBC, so tell me to stop talking.
All I can tell you is that, like, 3 or 4 months after we launched this show, I was ripping on Lawrence O'Donnell. And you know Jim Biederman? You know, I think you may know Jim. He said,
he
called me one day and he said, oh, I had a really funny experience. I got bumped up to first class. I was sitting next to Lawrence O'Donnell and he was literally watching a YouTube you did about him. And so Lawrence, who used to be a guest on my show, and I don't have the same quite relationship we used to have. So what are you going to do? So say whatever you got to say.
Well, but he's two things. Once he went through this whole thing about how he says mean things about Donald Trump, but he wants to show you that Donald Trump was very nice to him at the congressional dinner. So he shows footage of Donald Trump walking up to him and, hey, hi, Lawrence. So that was an actual segment on his show. And then he had to go, and then a few months ago, he's like, I have a big announcement today in the show. His big announcement was that Trump gave money to his charity for the desks for the kids. That's what his big announcement was.
And what was that?
Yeah.
Was it supposed to be a full disclosure? That's why I'm taking
it.
Or is it? Was it like? And I'm still knocking him.
No, he was doing this. He goes, so I can't take. He did 12 minutes about how I can't take it. You're not allowed to take it according to the laws. But he did give me, and I told Donald, you can't give me a check directly. You have to.
Did you put yourself to sleep there?
Yeah, I was putting myself to sleep. But it was like, well, he's basically saying, look, this guy, maybe he's a fascist, but he's very nice. He gave me a check. And he's very nice to me personally at congressional dinners.
You know who said that today? Ben Carson.
Who?
Ben Carson basically said the same thing. Yes, he called me a. Do we have that, Ben Carson? Listen to this. I just found this. Like, do people remember what Donald Trump said about Ben Carson? It was that famous Thursday night speech. He gave this speech the night before, I think it was the attacks in Paris. And so this speech got buried in, and I remember we were going to talk about that speech, about how, like, this seemed to be Donald Trump trying to get himself out of the race, because he was going up there, and this is the one where he's doing the knife thing about how Ben Carson stabbed himself.
Yeah,
and how, like, he was a pathological liar, and I'm not saying he's a pedophile, but it's weird. I mean, all this stuff. And so here's Ben Carson just going, this is, listen to his endorsement today. This is, which one is it? Okay.
We're failing to take a leadership position on the world stage. Now, some people said, well, why would you get behind a man like Donald Trump? I'll tell you why. First of all, I've come to know Donald Trump over the last few years. He is actually a very intelligent man who cares deeply about America. There are two different Donald Trumps. There's the one you see on the stage, and there's the one who's very cerebral, sits there and considers things very carefully. You can have a very good conversation with him. And that's the Donald Trump that you're going to start seeing more and more of right now. And some people said, but... Well, you know, he said terrible things about you. How can you support him? Well, first of all, we buried the hatchet. That was political stuff. And, you know, that happens in American politics. the politics of personal destruction, all that, is not something that I particularly believe in or anything that I get involved in. But I do recognize that it is a part of the process. We move on because it's not about me. It's not about Mr. Trump. It's about America.
So let me just tell you what he said there. I mean, just a bullet point those last 30 seconds. The politics of personal destruction, which of course he's railed upon, right? That happens.
Right.
It just happens. It's like a completely in the passive sense. I personally don't do that, but it's not about me. It's presumably about the bigger issues, which of course he has said is about the politics of personal destruction. I mean, that was almost his entire campaign was fighting against the politics of personal destruction. And now it's not about him. And apparently it's not about the one thing he was running on. It's about the fact that Donald Trump says that, Ben Carson is a genius when it comes to education. And yeah. That's what, this guy could be the Secretary of Education. It's just,
You know, didn't he also bury the hatchet in his friend when he was a kid?
Yes. In fact, I think Donald Trump acted that out.
By the way, this is the guy who said that Obamacare was worse than slavery. That's not a personal attack at all. Right?
No, that's not the politics of personal destruction.
That's history. That's just knowing good policy. Is that Andy Kindler on the line?
Oh, Dr. Ben, I'm a fan.
I really enjoy watching you tweeting at Louie. There's an aspect of it that's kind of obsessive and pathological. It's very you use Alinskyite tactics against Louie.
Saul Alinsky. If you like Saul Alinsky, it's Alinskyite.
If your approach to Louis C.K. and various other comedians is taken really from the Saul Alinsky playbook.
You know, it's true that Saul, I just found out yesterday that Saul Alinsky did have a playbook. I was not aware of it.
Oh, yeah, no, he did. He actually did have
Rules
a playbook.
Rules for Radicals, right?
Rules for Radicals.
Rules for Radicals. I read a summary of that on Facebook.
Who's the other guy, what?
Who's the other guy that he used to pal, the terrorist that he used to pal around
Bill
with?
Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers.
Bill, yes. Bill Ayers. That's almost stopped me from voting for Obama, was the Bill Ayers connection.
Bill well, Ayers and Barack Sam? Obama yeah. vacationed together at various madrasas around the world. A lot of people don't know that.
That is a fantastic... I don't know why I have to react to an impression by going, that's a fantastic impression.
Because frankly it is. It's true.
But you know, I wanted to tell you this. A lot of Ben Carson's early operations were failures because he kept closing his eyes during the operation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you're paralyzed now. Take responsibility. Big government says you don't want to be paralyzed.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. Carson. Does brain surgery is not rocket science, is what I'm beginning to figure out. It's easy, right? It's like it's the easiest thing. It's like screwing a wire, a ground wire. Isn't that true? Because you are a moron, Dr. Ben Carson. So if you can do brain surgery, that means I could do brain surgery.
I swear to God, if you were here right now, I would find the precise measurement and angle of your belt buckle if you wear one, being a Jew hippie, and I would stab you.
That Jew hippie line really, really hurt me.
No, it's great. I'm hanging out with Donnie.
Jesus. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Jesus. Wow. Oh my God.
I saw Andy Kindler's...
That almost killed my ears. We had some type of static over there.
I saw Andy Kindler's latest stand-up special, and frankly, it's a mess. It's a disaster. I'm learning a lot hanging out from Donald.
Well, I'm going to miss the parts during the debate when Ben Carson would come in with his hilarious... I wish someone would ask me a question.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now, I mean, I think the odds of Ben Carson actually getting paid. I mean, I guess it's conceivable that Ben Carson thinks he's going to get a position in government. But does this guy really want to be like the Secretary of Education? I don't think so. I think it's really they're just, you know, I really do think that Donald Trump, when he gets these guys, is basically saying like, Ben, I want to build fences with you. What do you want to do? Here's $200,000. Here's $500,000. Here's $600,000 to launch your new organization. I think Ben Carson already has a new, like, Christian or Happy Time. Who knows? Brain Surgeons for America. Who knows what the organization's going to be? America's American
Brain Surgeon. Anti-archaeologist Christian Brain Surgeon.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what it's going to be? But the point is, it's one more... feather in Trump's cap, and I don't know. I have
a lot of thoughts.
It's a feather in his swastika. Am I right, fellas?
Exactly. And so, all right.
He's
so
worse than Hitler. Worse. So, Hitler was had a certain coherency to him, right?
Well, I think I'm starting to think that we're honestly that Trump peaked. I think about 2 weeks ago. And I think we're starting to see, oddly enough, I honestly believe this. I think that which is not to say that he won't attract votes in a general election, but I really think that that we could be looking at one of the largest landslides in modern political history.
That would be so great. So great. Bernie, I'm so glad Bernie's going to win.
Where are you on the Bernie Hillary thing? Have we talked about this yet or no?
Well, I'm supporting Hillary because I am a right down the middle of the road Democratic guy. No, you know what? I wanted to get excited about Bernie, but I just don't. The thing, I don't get excited by his campaign. You know, everything is. He does seem like a one issue guy. I'm not just copying Hillary on that, but I do like the way he says inaccurate.
Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. You do like the way you just don't like the way, but aren't you, Andy, aren't you from that? Where did you grow up? Didn't we have this conversation? In Queens.
Queens.
These are all your peeps we're talking about.
I have never heard an accent like his accent anywhere in New York. I don't know where he got the accent, but I don't know. I thought he would be more exciting because I didn't know anything about him. And I thought maybe there would be, I'll tell you what Bernie Sanders is amazing at. He's very eloquent. When he talks about things that are wrong, and I mean, I think he talks wonderfully, but I don't know. Maybe I'll try and get. I don't know. What do you think? What's your take?
Well, I mean, I prefer Bernie's policies, and that's But I'm not going to vote for a Republican. I mean, I don't want to flush our entire society down the toilet. I think
is it Nader? Nader time again?
No.
Nader comes back.
I, for one, learned a lesson during that campaign.
I blame Nader for the Iraq invasion. I blame him. Is that wrong? Am I wrong? Am I the bad guy?
I think that's a little much. I think that's a little strong.
And also for how my career has gone.
That I think is fair. Well, let me ask you this. All right, so you're in Idaho, and when you go around, I mean, do you get into politics at all? I mean, like when you're going to go up tonight in Idaho, are you worried that if you knock Trump in any fashion that you're going to have a problem?
You know, this would be me. I have no fear, but I have a lot of anxiety. But actually, last night I did some. I think this is kind of a conservative area, but Boise is like less conservative than the rest of Idaho. But last night I did my. That he's going to round us all up and put us in Trump's concentration camps. The greatest concentration camp. Exciting, great concentration camp. And they seem to be fine with it.
Okay.
Everyone was fine with this.
There is.
Sometimes it's hard to make it funny. I find it's hard to make it funny about Trump sometimes. It's so terrible.
We watched the last debate, and we were just sort of looking at ourselves going like, what are we going to add to this? Some level. But I mean, I'll tell you, I just got, Michael just IM'd me a video, and I guess it's coming from St. Louis, right? In Missouri.
Okay.
And it is I'm going to turn the audio off. I'm just going to look. It's 20 seconds long, but it's literally like you've got a guy just getting up, a Trump supporter just getting up, like, you know, yelling, it's go time, getting his fists ready, and then, of course, a white supremacist comes over to calm him down. So just literally, there's like it looks like a guy, who's coming over to And I get this is this against the media that they're? I can't quite.
That's not clear. I mean, this is literally happening
it's
right
not,
now.
It's not clear. And the guy's just sort of, it's go time and literally has to be calmed down by guys who look like white supremacists. Like, it's, you know, it's okay. We've got time.
We hate them too, but you got to take a breath.
Right. There's a time and a place for this, and this isn't good for Trump's victory. But it is amazing to see, I mean, for me, like John Kasich, to see that guy who, you know, just go over and shake Trump's hand. And literally 6 months ago, he was saying basically what you're saying, Andy. I mean, not in such a Jewy way, but was definitely supporting an ad campaign to that effect.
Well, the reason why that anybody who watched the debate, you could say, well, I like Kasich a little bit. I don't like him, but he has actually, like, he has some information. You know, he was in, he has been in a meeting at some point. So you listen to him, and he also took the Medicaid money. So he's a saint in the Republican Party.
Exactly, at this point. All right, well, Andy, I want to wrap up because
Are you reading during the bar interview?
I'm filling out my taxes. Is that wrong?
I'm balancing my checkbook. I'm Shazamming your voice right now.
Have you ever done that? Can you do that? Can you Shazam a voice? Well, if somebody Shazams this, will they find like your albums? What do you have something to plug at all, Andy? Or
oh well, thank you for when is he gonna ask me to plug my date? I'm in Boise tonight and tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get on the train. Hey, go to andykiller.com. I've got my tour dates from 2004 up now. And if you're tired of websites where there's all kinds of flashing things, and I have the same way. It hasn't changed in 15 years.
My understanding is but the only browser you can use is Netscape Navigator. Is that right?
I like the word browser. when I'm in a bookstore now, I suggest that joke won't work because there's no bookstores. Sorry.
Andy, I have one more request for you. Lil Marco on Twitter is a regular listener of this program and is begging that you unblock them.
Oh, sure.
See that, folks? Look at that. It's
what's his thing?
AlexJS85. @AlexJS85.
Okay.
You probably blocked him because you assumed that he was being serious and he was trying to parody Little Marco. So.
Oh, I can't believe I would. I do a lot of. He's unblocked. Oh, actually, at one point, I muted him. You muted him and blocked him. He's back. He's back, baby.
He's back. All right. Well,
I make a lot of mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes with blocking.
You never. No. Andy Kindler does not make any mistakes. It all happens for a reason when you do it. That's what I say. Andy, as always, a great pleasure to talk to you. Good luck tonight. Folks, head to Boise immediately to see Andy tonight.
I love you, Sam.
Thanks, Andy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
All right. We got to make sure that we take out those two hits, because if someone's listening with their headphones, I can't wait for the isolated images of me reacting to that on YouTube. Andy Kindler, ladies and gentlemen, always, always a real treat. Okay, we're going to head into the fun half of the program. Just a reminder, folks, we need you. I'm not even going to do the membership plea today. Go up, if you have not already subscribed, to Two Dope Boys, and you can do it at subscribe2db.com. Very easy for you to do this. This is the podcast that we have launched as part of our Indiegogo campaign last year. Every dollar of that is still at work. And all of that money was invested in stuff, not our operating cost. It was invested in either one-time upgrades or the launching of these shows so that we can sustain it, that hopefully will sustain this show going forward. So all of this stuff is working towards making future pleas like this less likely. You can really help this show by going and subscribing to, just clicking on, or I should say, putting in your browser, subscribe, the word subscribe, you all know how to spell that, the numeral 2, DB, as in dopeboys.com. And the show, Michael, I don't know if you've been checking our email box. I know that, you know, you get a little bit hesitant to do stuff like that because then you might have to, like, actually respond and do some work on those things. But you're missing out because you're getting a lot of praise for Two Dope Boys. I've had multiple. Here's one right here I just found. Two Dope Boys is great. I've been looking like for a podcast like this for years. What else? I can't find them now because they're not labeled. But it's going gangbusters. People have been giving reviews and ratings, which is also incredibly helpful. And it has gotten on the what's hot, what's new in society and culture. Literally thousands of you have subscribed. We need more of you to do it. As you do it, it will keep it up there in the charts. It'll attract more attention. So head over there and check it out.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanking the audience, but thank you too.
Oh, well, thank you. No. So thank you for doing that is what Michael's trying to say. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll be right back after this.